let's remain standing for the reading of God's word. Tune in your Bibles, please, to Revelation chapter 4 and verse 5. Scripture says, "And out of the throne proceed lightnings and thunderings and voices. And there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God." Father, we ask for your blessing and anointing upon your word today. Lord, we pray that you would give us insight today into the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, what he wants to accomplish in each of us, for we ask it in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I would like to draw your attention to the fact this morning that out of the throne room of God were seven lamps of fire that were burning, and it says that these seven lamps of fire are the seven spirits of God. John saw seven spirits of God before God's throne. He had referred to them one time earlier in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 4, where he says, "John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne." And he referred to them again in Revelation chapter 5 and verse 6. This is the third time. Revelation chapter 1 verse 4, Revelation chapter 4 verse 5, and Revelation chapter 5 verse 6. "And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent forth into all the earth." So that was the third time. Three times John draws our attention to the seven spirits of God. Yet Paul said there is one spirit in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 4. He said, "There is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling." Are there contradictions in these verses? No, there is indeed one Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity. This is the same spirit that resides in the believer. When you've received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the indwelling Holy Spirit comes and makes his home there. There is no contradiction, but rather a marvelous revelation of the seven expressions of this one Holy Spirit. There is seven ways in which this Holy Spirit imparts godliness into the life of believers. There are seven forms, if you would, and how he ministers to people. So what are these manifestations of the Spirit? What are the seven manifestations of the Spirit? One is the Spirit of grace. He is referred to and he is called the Spirit of grace. In Hebrews chapter 20, chapter 10 and verse 29, Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 29, "Of how much sore punishment suppose ye shall ye thought worthy, who hath trodden under foot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant, wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace." The Spirit of grace. Grace is the desire that and power that God gives us to do his will. It is divine assistance given to us in the areas of redemption and sanctification. It is motivated by God's good pleasure to go well beyond the second, third, or even fourth mile, extending to mankind his immeasurable gifts, his gifts of grace. The Holy Spirit is God's agent who represents and who gives heaven's gifts and treasures to men. Only the Holy Spirit can bring a person to God. Only the Holy Spirit can convict a person of their sins. Only the Holy Spirit can stimulate that feeling that leads to genuine repentance. No evangelist or pastor or teacher in the world can do that work. It takes the work of the Holy Spirit. And when you feel that tug at your heart, you know what I'm talking about. I think you've all been there. If you've ever received Jesus Christ as your Savior, you felt that tug at your heart, that drawing to God. And even after we receive him as Savior, sometimes there is that tug to confess sin, or that tug to strive for deeper things in God. And when you feel that tug at your heart and that inner sense that you are standing on holy ground, bear in mind that you are being dealt with by God's Holy Spirit and none other. That sacred prompting needs to be heeded at the very earliest possible moment, because you have a rendezvous with your Creator, and the Holy Spirit has brought you to that place to meet your Creator, because He is the Spirit of grace. He is the Spirit of grace. Found this in the Christian Digest. It says, Longfellow could take a worthless sheet of paper, write a poem on it, and make it worth $6,000. That's genius. Rockefeller could sign his name to a piece of paper and make it worth $1 million. That's capital. Uncle Sam can take gold, stamp an eagle on it, and make it worth $20. That's money. A mechanic can take material that is worth only $5 and make it worth $50. That's skill. An artist can take a 50-cent piece of canvas, paint a picture on it, and make it worth $1,000. That's art. God can take a worthless, sinful life, wash it in the blood of Christ, put His Spirit in it, and make it a blessing to humanity. That's salvation. He is the Spirit of grace. Number two, He is the Spirit of life. The Holy Spirit ministers life. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 2, it says, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. I think that verse fits there with Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1, where it says, and you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. The Holy Spirit is the one who quickens. The Holy Spirit is the one that gives life. What is life? Jesus said, I am the life. Whoever has the Son, right, has life. So the Holy Spirit makes Christ come alive. He makes Christ alive in your being. You know, the Holy Spirit is willing and anxious to do for you anything that Jesus would do if He were here on this earth right now. And just as our Lord touched lives from Capernaum to Jerusalem, the Holy Spirit touches lives all over the world today. The Holy Spirit touches lives in our day. Jim Irwin, one of the astronauts who walked on the moon, said that the thrill of it was so great that he stopped in his tracks there in the moon dust and thought, this must be the greatest miracle in human history, man walking on the moon. Then he said that God spoke to his heart and replied, no, the greatest miracle in human history is that God walks on the earth and lives in you. He is the Spirit of life. He's come to give life, and that more abundantly. Third manifestation of the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of adoption. He's referred to the Spirit of adoption in Romans chapter 8 and verse 15. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, or Father. The necessary work of the Holy Spirit is the establishment of former children of Satan to the family of God. And not only are we brought into the family of God and transferred out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, the kingdom of God's dear Son, but He has eternally made us legal heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. He assures us of our salvation, and He confirms to us the redeeming work of God in our hearts. It's that assurance that you have, that you know that you are a child of God. That is the work of the Holy Spirit. We are no longer distressed by feelings of condemnation. For as we allow the Holy Spirit to guide us and direct us, the negative aspects and the negative thoughts are removed. And because of this, we can now approach God's throne boldly. Because we are heirs, we can approach His throne boldly to ask for things that we need. He has opened up His bounty to us. We are now free with open access to God. Think about that. The God of this universe, we have open access to Him. No appointment is necessary. We can go, and we can go into the courtroom, and we can communicate with the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords, and He has time for all of us. This no way distracts from His majesty or holiness. It means rather that we can come into his presence without the fear that we possessed before we became believers and children of his and were lost. Number four, the Spirit of Holiness. The Spirit of Holiness, Romans chapter 1 and verse 4, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of Holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. When we sin and we feel that burning consciousness, our conscience begins to convict us and to prick us. That conscience, that voice inside of us that tells us that we have done wrong and urges us to repentance. That is the Holy Spirit. That is the Spirit of Holiness at work in our lives. As a Christian, you will be ministered to by this blessed Spirit, the Spirit of Holiness. Your heart will be pricked, pierced when you transgress. And you know, that's good. That's a good thing. Some people have very easy consciences. God speaks to them when they do wrong. And if you have a conscience like that, you can thank the Lord for that. That is the Holy Spirit working within you, helping you to become a person after God's own heart. There's brokenness, there's a contriteness about our spirit when we have sinned and we have transgressed God's law. It's a purging. Don't ever cast that aside. Don't ever cast that aside. Don't ever think, you know, other people do this. How come they don't feel convicted about that? You just thank the Lord that you feel convicted. Don't look at others. God's Spirit is striving within you, trying to make us holy. You appreciate that as a Christian. As a non-Christian, you'll also appreciate it because there's a conviction of sin and there's the knowledge of a wide gap between you and God. God will never allow sin in his presence. So the Spirit of Holiness is at work in your soul to permit you to enter into his presence to ask for forgiveness. You know, if it wasn't for the Holy Spirit, we wouldn't even have the courage, the boldness to pray the sinner's prayer. If it wasn't for him, we would feel our sinfulness, the awful chasm that has developed between us and God. But the Holy Spirit gives us that grace and that desire to go and to make things right with God, to ask for forgiveness. And because of the work of the Holy Spirit, we can enter into God's presence without spot or blemish, holy and acceptable in his sight. Number five, there is the Spirit of Supplications. The Spirit of Supplications. We have to go to the Old Testament to find this. And in Zechariah chapter 12 and verse 10, the Lord speaking, prophesying, I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace, there it is again, but the spirit of grace and of supplications. And they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. The spirit of prayer, the spirit of supplications. What a vital contribution the Holy Spirit is to your prayer life. And in Romans chapter 8 and verse 26, Paul wrote, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. The Holy Spirit enables you to pray the deepest groanings of your heart and communicate them to God. You know, Peter, James, and John, they had been invited to a very special prayer meeting. It was in the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus told them to pray, and then he went off a little further in the garden and began to pray himself. After he prayed for a while, he came back, and what were the disciples doing? They were sleeping, weren't they? Our Lord had to continually awaken them. They kept sleeping during their prayer time. But as you look at the Christians in the book of Acts, we find that the early Christians were praying people. There they were on the day of Pentecost, and up until that point, tarrying, as Bob had pointed out, waiting to be endued with power from on high. Not once does it mention that they fell asleep that time. They waited for 10 days that time. They couldn't even wait an hour before. Now they waited 10 days. What was the difference? Because I think Jesus, before that time, breathed upon them. He said to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The spirit of supplications came upon them and enabled them in their prayer life to be more effective. The Holy Spirit helps you in your prayer life. Number 6, he is the Spirit of truth. He is the Spirit of truth. John chapter 16 and verse 13, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He is the Spirit of truth. Isaiah broke down that truth into 7 understandable issues. He said that the Spirit gives wisdom, understanding, counsel, strength, knowledge, a fear of the Lord, and a comprehension of his work. Jesus took great pains to instruct the disciples that when he was ascended back to the Father, he would send them the Holy Spirit. He would send them the Comforter, and his job would be to teach them truth, to guide them into all truth. Again, I ask, what is truth? Pilate asked that question, what is truth? Jesus said, I am the truth. And so the Holy Spirit reveals Christ to us. He reveals the truth about Jesus. And the Holy Spirit will never, ever do anything to draw attention away from Jesus. He will make the Lord real to your life if you permit him to. He is the Spirit of truth. And number 7, and lastly this morning, he is the Spirit of glory. The Spirit of glory. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 14 says, if ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. For the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part, he is evil spoken of, but on your part, he is glorified. I know this is difficult, but never ever let the tribulations of this present life detract you from your eternal goals. Never let the temporary cloud the eternal. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. Because why? The Spirit of God and the Spirit of glory rest upon you during that time. On the part of the world, he's evil spoken of. And because we represent him, evil will sometimes be spoken of us. But the end result is he will be glorified. He'll be glorified in your life if you let him. No matter what the trial and what the tribulation, if you remain faithful and true, he will be glorified. Consider the Apostle Paul. He knew that truth so very well. Even in that pathetic pit beneath Nero's palace, where he endured privation, darkness, and malnutrition for the last 2 years of his life, he could say, in Romans 8:18, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. This is not even worth trying to compare the two, because the glory that will be revealed in us far outweighs the sufferings of this present time. The Holy Spirit will help you keep your priorities straight. He makes you to think in eternal values and terms, not earthly. He teaches you what the truly important things of living are. There is a peace that comes over us, a peace that passes all understanding, the peace that guards our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. This peace is a supernatural work of the Holy Spirit. It cannot be explained with human terms. You will not fear death, nor will you fear to face life. That is the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. And so the Holy Spirit longs to minister to you today in 7 different categories, 7 different manifestations. He wants to impart grace to you today. He wants to release God's power in your life. That's grace. He will give you life because he reveals Christ in you. Not just life today, but abundant life. He will show you clearly that you have been adopted by salvation into the family of God and may therefore pray boldly and clearly. He will steer you toward a life of righteousness and holiness, without which no man shall see God. He will help you pray. He will lead you into all truth. He will keep you from error. And he will mold you and your life to bring glory to the Father. Now tell me, don't you think you need the Holy Spirit in your life today? Could I have your heads bowed and your eyes closed this morning? Maybe in just even one of these ways, the Holy Spirit wants to minister to you today. Do you need grace? Do you need grace? Grace desire and a power to do God's will. You need more of God's power in your life today. The Holy Spirit wants to do that for you today. Power, dunamis, dynamite-like power. It's available to the Christian because of the work of the Holy Spirit. Do you need grace? Maybe you're here today and you need a greater revelation of Jesus Christ, that he might live his life through you. The Holy Spirit wants to do that for you today. Maybe you're here today and you have some doubts about your salvation. The Holy Spirit wants to clearly show you that you have been adopted by salvation into the family of God. Maybe you need help in your prayer life. He's the Spirit of supplications. He'll help you pray. Maybe you need the Spirit of holiness. You admit your life is not as righteous as you'd like to be. You lack in the area of holiness. The Holy Spirit will help you get right. Will help you to become holy. Not just so that we can say that we are holy, but that we actually become holy. Maybe you're here today and you don't know what the truth is. The Holy Spirit would like to show you the truth and keep you from error. Or maybe you're here today and you're going through a trial, a tribulation, and you need the peace that the Holy Spirit can give so that you can bring glory to God. Glory in your life. You need the Holy Spirit. I'm sure that all of us need the Holy Spirit in one or more of these ways today. And if you do, would you just raise your hand up to the Lord, up and then down. Lord, I need the Holy Spirit in some of these areas. Amen. Amen. You may put your hands down. Thank you. I'd like to pray for you. Heavenly Father, I am grateful today for the work of the Holy Spirit. These seven lamps of fire, as it were, burning before your throne, the seven spirits of God. And I thank you, Lord, that the Holy Spirit is also omnipresent. He's not only in heaven today, but he is here at Calvary Assembly of God. And Holy Spirit, I pray that you would go and that you would minister to each person what they need today. Lord, that you would minister in each situation the particular manifestation of yours that they need. And Lord, may they feel the touch of the Holy Spirit upon their lives today. And may we be changed. May we be changed. May we all come to the place where we bring honor and glory to our Heavenly Father. Give us grace, we pray, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Could we just sing that song that Nancy is playing? Holy Spirit, thou art welcome in this place. And as we sing, let's stand. And as we sing, those that are going on the missions trip, would you just come stand up front, please? We'd like to pray for you before we dismiss this morning. You can come as we sing. Holy Spirit, thou art welcome in this place. Mm-hmm. Let him do a work in your heart today as you sing it. Thou art welcoming this place. Omnipotent Father of mercy and grace. Thou art welcoming this place. We're going to sing it one more time. Think about this. Not only is the Holy Spirit in heaven at the throne of God, not only is he here this morning, not only is he in other churches who believe, teach the truth about him, he's in your heart. That is the greatest miracle in human history. Holy Spirit indwelling the human heart. As we sing it one more time, if you'd like to come up and be one who lays hands on these people, you may do that. Just make your way out of your pew up to the front. Stand by somebody this morning, and we'll sing it one more time, and then we will pray over these. Holy Spirit, thou art welcome in this place.
Spirit, thou art welcome.
Let's pray. If you would like to just stretch out your hand toward them that are up here in front this morning, you may do that. You pray, and after a couple of moments, I'll just lead us out. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we do pray for those that are up here today. I ask, first of all, Lord, for your divine protection upon them as they travel. Lord, as they go into the city of Los Angeles, Lord, that you would protect them there. Build a hedge around each and every one. Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit and your anointing would rest upon them. Lord, that they would go forth in the power of your Spirit and in the power of your name. I ask, Lord, that there would be fruit from their laborers there. Lord, that people would be saved, they would be converted from their sins. Lord, that they would repent and turn from their wickedness and their evil ways to follow that which is righteous and holy. That they would find Christ, who is the truth, the life, and the way. Lord, I pray that you would minister in every detail of their trip. Lord, that things would go well for them. There would not be complications. There would not be problems. But Lord, everything would go smoothly. Lord, we commission them and send them in Jesus' name. Amen. So, Bob James, would you dismiss us in prayer, please?
Our Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the time we spent together with you, Lord. Thank you for your words. We thank you for ministering to our hearts. Father, we thank you for these young people that are going to go out and share with you.